Hey, Matt. You're
Hey,
muted.
sorry. Hey, Leslie, how are you?
Maybe I'm muted. Hang on, it's me.
Oh, yeah.
There. How's that?
I can still hear you. I was able to
Oh,
hear you
did
the
you hear
first
me
time.
before? I couldn't hear. I had my sound off. I don't know what I'm
That's
thinking.
okay.
How you been?
I've been all right. How about you?
Good.
Yes, weather's been something.
Oh my gosh. It's like walking out into an oven today.
Oh, oh, yeah. What was it? Yesterday. Yesterday, I get off the. Sh I guess get off the shuttle that takes us from the hospital to the commuter lot. And oh my God, it was like I step off that shuttle and it's like getting smacked in the face with a hot wet towel or something. Just like ah.
Yeah, that's awful. I'm very thankful for air conditioning, I'll tell you that.
Well, and I'm also quite thankful for the rain we got because God knows we needed it.
Yeah. We got almost 4 inches here. Yeah. But already it's like there was nothing really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, the ground has just been so parched, you know.
Yeah.
I think we're finally out of severe drought and just into abnormally dry, but still that's, you know. But
Yeah,
that's still just,
it does not bode well for the summertime.
yeah.
Where is everybody?
I don't know. It's just,
I
it's like nobody got the memo. That looks like Rod.
Is Ron? Yeah,
Hey,
good.
I'm
Hi.
here.
Good.
The same thing happened to me as that happened to Peter last month. I go to turn my computer on. It's time for an update. It's like, oh my God, I'm
Oh.
waiting and waiting in this blue screen, you know. So, looks like we'll just have audio until my computer gets up and running. So, who do we have? Who's here with us
Just Leslie and
today?
myself.
Okay, all right. Well, we don't have quite have a quorum yet. I got an email, a text from Brenda. She's going to be mowing her lawns this evening because it was too hot during the day. But, and she just got back from Maine. She's been just unpacking from Maine. She was away for a week on a lake up in Maine. How lucky is that, right?
Nice.
Yeah, really, that's nice. So I think Peter's planning to join us and Alan.
Yeah, there, speak of the devil, there he is.
Good. We have a quorum.
Hey.
Hey.
Happy
Rocking
hot.
the
There he is.
Rocking the silver, looking very distinguished.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's Alan and Peter too? Is Mr. Allen is there. All right, Mr. Allen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same
I can't
difference.
see. I don't have access to my computer.
All us old white men look alike.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So let's. So is Peter with us yet?
No.
Not yet. Okay. All right. Well, we do have a quorum, so let's get underway. Let's call the meeting to order. This is the regular meeting for the month of July. And just a reminder, the meeting is being recorded on Zoom. And welcome, everyone. I hope you're all staying cool.
It's a tad warm.
Yes, it's a tad warm, but it's probably nicer to just have this on virtually, so we don't have to leave. And although it would be nice to be in your air-conditioned car, right? I think that there's like warming centers. I got an email today, and I think that the library and the town hall maybe is not a warming center. I'm sorry. It's like, they had warming centers last winter. Now it's cooling centers. Yes, they're offering folks to come to the library to chill out. How cool is that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, nice.
Both literally and figuratively.
Indeed. Yes. Yes. Okay, so my computer is cleaning up for some reason, 100% complete. Don't turn off your computer. So I'll just run from my phone here. We'll just go through the agenda here. And the first item is to approve the minutes from our last meeting. Did everybody have a chance to read those minutes?
I did not.
Can you bring them up on your computer?
I think
they were sent probably a couple of days after our last meeting. It might have been June.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, great. Just scroll through them and take a look. I'm sorry?
June 30th.
Peter Van Dyne is with us. All right. Hello, Peter. No, it had to be sooner than that. The minutes were sent out probably
June
like
5th.
A week of the 5th.
Oh, no, it's June 5th.
Well, yeah, you resent them on the...
Oh, I did. That's right. That's right. They're also included with the agenda. Yes. Thank you, Peter. Peter, I'm not sure if you heard, you just got on, but I turned my computer on like 6:45 and it's been updating ever since.
Yeah, that's what happened to me last month.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Didn't they give you a warning, you know, give you the option, like, can I update later at midnight, you know?
Oh, no, we're owned by Microsoft.
All right.
Yep. So, Alan, let me know when you get a chance to review those minutes.
Reviewing them.
Look for typos. Where Gene is not with us any longer, so we don't have that extra third eye. We're going to miss her expertise. I think she said that she used to write for a newspaper at one time.
All right, well, I don't see any, certainly nothing glaring.
Looks pretty good to me.
Item 5.2, male is slenderer, though I would amend that to being more slender.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I mean, we can, you know, it still gets the point across.
Right.
What else was there? There was one other thing, I swear.
Yeah, I guess we might as well just make it more slender.
And can you read the entire sentence?
Male is slenderer.
Yes.
The female is larger. The eagle at around 20 pounds.
Oh, dealing with eagles. Yeah.
The male
more
is
slender.
More slender.
More slender.
Or slimmer.
Weighs less.
It was working. Great. Or slimmer. Okay.
Choose your poison there, Leslie.
The male chooses his poison.
As do we all.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
Matt, did you locate the other one that you had?
Nope. Oh, so, yep, just that one. So I will actually move to amend the minutes.
Move to approve with an amendment.
Move to approve with amendments. Yes.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. The amendment is basically adding more slender and removing
slenderer.
Okay. Great. Any more comments, questions? All right. Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed. Abstentions. Motion's carried. Minutes are approved. Okay. Great. And I am on my computer. Desktop is showing. Great. So I will be on momentarily. So public comment. Is there anybody here that would speak, has any comments on behalf of the public? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item 4.0. Finance report. I'll bring up should be on momentarily, Peter, to be able to share your, unless everybody wants to bring up what Peter sent. You have access to that on your own computer. He sent out his treasurer's report 2 days ago, I would say.
At least yesterday. Can't remember exactly yesterday. When.
Okay.
I just note that it's the end of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
Asked if I got the amount for the last meeting correct, or is that correct, Leslie?
I don't have the report up, Peter. How much did you have there?
Oh, I got to look at it.
If it was 100, it's right.
I believe that's what I had.
I'm seeing clerk salary 5 June 23 at 125.
Really?
125?
I didn't get any results from the finance. They're too busy this time of year. So I will correct that.
We still had enough. I think there was a $60 surplus.
Yeah.
And that.
After we made the transfer.
Right. And that transfer was approved too, obviously. Yeah. Good. How about, do you want to give us the breakdown on the water analysis?
Can you bring it up?
Yes. Give me a minute. I'm just on right now. I just got on. Okay. Go dig it out now. Give me a minute. Okay, so why don't I just continue talking about the end of the year? What was the end of the year fiscal report?
Well, we spent most of our money, but not all of it. We didn't overspend anything that we didn't get a transfer for. And we have a significant amount of money in the activity fund, which of course carries over.
Yes. And pretty much the same amount this next fiscal year as the previous, starting with the same numbers, right?
I would have to look that up.
Where the heck is your report? I thought I had it saved here. I guess not.
Yeah.
I can't find it either.
I'm looking.
I know I saw it.
Yeah, so we did at the last meeting, we discussed trying to get some notch pond water analysis completed before the end of the fiscal year, but we didn't have numbers as to how much it costs, so we didn't really
that's something you want to do in the wintertime.
We didn't have the numbers
We couldn't do it last summer.
Right. I'm not mentioning the ability to do it. I'm talking about the financial.
I would have pushed for starting last summer, but we didn't have our budget. Didn't get the budget till September.
That's right. Yeah.
So what was the amount? Because we didn't really, what was the amount?
Well, there are two sets of tests. The one that was just for grease and oil and grease was $70, and the other one was $107. That would give us there's three. No, I don't have it up. Did you have my report?
I'm digging it out. Yeah, I'm looking for it here. Here we go. Documents for July 6th meeting. Yes, Notch Pond baseline and treasury report. Bless you. Okay. I'm digging it up. Sorry for the delay. We can blame Microsoft for this.
That won't get you very far, but
no. All right. Hold on 1 second.
Where's Brenda tonight?
I guess I'm mowing her lawn just because it's been too dang hot out.
It's still too dang hot.
Right?
You're getting an argument from me.
Well, I presume you guys heard that it's the hottest day, 2 days, not today, but yesterday.
For the whole world.
Yes.
Ever.
A world.
At least since they've been taking a...
Oh, really?
They estimated 125,000 years ago is when was the last time it was this warm.
Wow.
And they also said something interesting. It's like, you know, like 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit doesn't seem like much, but if you've got like a 98 degree, you know, body temperature and you go up 3 degrees almost, that's like significant, and it's not going to kill you, but it's of concern.
Going to make you uncomfortable, yeah.
And definitely as you get older, you don't acclimate as quickly or as well.
Right.
Especially since last week was, still long sleeve shirts and long pants, and suddenly, that's the treasurer's report.
Hold on.
Yep. Summer with the Benjamins.
We can do the once I bring.
Yeah, if you just click on the Notch Pond baseline up there, you should bring that up. See in your upper left?
No. Notch Pond baseline, upper left, huh? Well, treasury report. While I'm looking for that, you can discuss this. There we go. There's the end of the year results. Right? So on payroll, we have, instead of 67, you think it's...
$25 more than that.
Okay. And then when it comes to professional educational services, we depleted our fund for that. And it looks like we had...
$123, so we could have made another
another test if we started earlier, right?
Yeah.
And general supplies, we had $18 left. And there's a balance, almost $4,000 in the conservation activity fund. Okay. Let me dig out
the
other
one. We spent all the dues and fees.
That's the other category, right. Now you sent me, for some reason, PDF does not like Zoom, or Zoom does not like PDF, excuse me.
Well, the document you just showed was a PDF.
I know. I don't know why it doesn't show up as easily on my, hold on. I have to open it and I have to keep it minimized in order for it to show up in Zoom. Here we go, the Notch Pond baseline. I opened it. Now I'm going to open Zoom, and it should be able to share. Yes, there we go. Okay, sorry about that.
There we go. Yep.
Okay, so on June 6th at 11 a.m., Mr. Parley, Mr. Van Dyne used ESTIC 1500.
Yep, and we...
and took a water sample for analysis at Phoenix Labs. Since an oil sheen was observed, they returned on June 8th at 4 p.m. with HOC instruments and water sample at Phoenix. File for Phoenix to test for oil and grease.
Okay.
So what was...
the total solids we got measured both by Phoenix and by our ESTIC. And I've never measured total solids before, but I can think of many reasons why they're different. It was not the same piece of water. You were waiting around and you might have grabbed when you stuck the ESIC 1500 in the pond, you might have been stirred up some of the bottom mud. So, you know, that just reported what we got. Okay, then.
Before you move off of that, Peter, honestly, I don't think I did stir anything up on the top.
Okay.
But
the two numbers are quite different, obviously. 370, and I cannot explain it, but I have no experience in measuring total solids.
Can I ask a question, Peter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is the difference between ESTIC and Phoenix?
ESTIC is measured on our stick it in the water and push the button and read the results. And Phoenix is to send a water sample into the laboratory.
Okay, I thought it was spelled differently. I thought it was ESTIX, ESTIX, 10. That's the conductivity meter, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Conductivity, salinity, pH.
Gotcha. All right. Now, so you don't know why the ESTIX is showing more in solids than Phoenix Lab?
I do not know. No.
Hmm. Okay. On to phosphorus.
The phosphorus is about what he expected. Notch Pond would have to be considered eutrophic with the amount of plant growth that's there. So 45 parts per million is not. That's mid-range eutrophic, not terrible. The nitrogen, again, is about where you would expect it, high, but not terrible. The dissolved oxygen is relatively low. So it's definitely a eutrophic pond. I think the two pH samples are reasonably the same.
6.18 and 6.38. Yep. That's not that acidic. That's pretty good for a eutrophic pond.
Yeah. They are on different days too. So, you know, the two total solid samples were the same day, but the pH was different days. So that could explain it also.
Now, what are the parameters for salinity?
Again, I'm just beginning to learn about salinity and conductivity. The conductivity is relatively high.
And but you're not sure about salinity, what if that's high or not? 250.
I believe it's higher than anything we found in the Brooks, but I'd have to go high. Back. But that again is to be expected with the water coming off
the highway.
You know, catch basins on the roads, which are salted in the wintertime.
They didn't send you the parameters when they sent you the results.
No, they don't. Yeah, because they're and besides that's just sticking the device in the pond, trying to get a baseline. If you go back to what. What's her name? Our friend at Salmon River, Pat Young. Yep. She says in Brooks, you have to do it many times to get the baseline. So, you know, we can go back. It doesn't cost us anything to do the ESIC tests. We can continue to do those in summertime without worrying about the budget. You follow me there?
Yes.
Yep, still here.
Yep.
The only thing we have to pay for is when we go to Phoenix.
So dissolved oxygen. Back to dissolved oxygen. You say that's kind of high.
No, kind of low.
Kind of low.
Yeah.
Level should be about 6 grams. But being here from Penn State, that levels are below 6 milligrams can begin to have a detrimental effect on pond life.
Yes, especially the fish and amphibians.
Right. It can cause fish kills. We might want to do that again.
You're not gonna see a fish kill at four. You got to get down to around two before you can see fish kills. But four isn't going to make the fish very happy.
We want happy fish.
And as I pointed out, we saw an oil sheen on the 6th, and so I needed a special sample bottle, which I got from Phoenix. No charge. They just charged it for analyzing it. And basically, they didn't find any. 1.4 is their lowest, and it was less. They didn't see any oil or grease in the sample that we sent them on the 8th.
You know, what does conductivity mean?
That's the ability of the water to carry a current.
Oh.
And it's measured in something called mu. I can't remember offhand what the S stands for. But that's you can relate that to ohms, but it's kind of a That's really the numbers that they use for water conductivity.
Okay. So is that number?
That's a bit high. The higher the salinity, the higher the conductivity. The more salt you have dissolved in the water, the more electricity it's going to carry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Is there any way you could add, do this again, but add the parameters?
I can do some research when I get caught up on things.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that it doesn't really show us much unless we know what the parameters are, where
they
fit.
Well, that's why I said it, trying to get a baseline.
Right.
And
great.
We go by what we, you know, you read Pat Young's report and you say salinity and conductivity, especially conductivity, You don't really know what's going on until you have a series of tests. So we have a test here. So we'll, you know, go back and take some more.
Sure. And then, so comparing this to, like, say, what you do on Bolton Lake, what's the conductivity difference on Bolton Lake?
Never have measured conductivity in the lakes.
And how about
We got the device. It doesn't cost us anything.
How about the dissolved oxygen?
Dissolved oxygen is typically around 8.
Wow.
At the surface. And, you know, Notch Pond is basically all at the surface.
It's a bit more shallow, right? How about phosphorus?
phosphorus. We've seen it as high as 4.5 near the bottom. Typically, it's this year it's very good. It's between 10 and 20. Typically, under 20 at the surface. So that's 20 is considered the boundary for eutrophic. So basically, this year, in prior years, the lakes have been eutrophic by the phosphorus test, but not this year. This year, they're very clear.
And you haven't done salinity?
No, I should I should stick the estic in the lake and get some readings.
Yeah, great. So we just move on. This is still a financial report, but Leslie, if you just don't mind, you know, mind up putting in these numbers here, it's pretty simple without the parameters. You know, you can really just include total solids. I can send you this, Leslie, if you want me to.
I have it from Peter.
Yeah, I sent it to her.
Okay. Yeah, how much of this do we want to include in the minutes? How much is important?
I think the minutes, you would just want to say that you have baseline numbers.
Okay.
We're trying to make sure that you know, we keep these. Do we have any permanent record of what we do besides the minutes?
I think it should be in maybe we can just add this whole document so it's included in the minutes. That's the most permanent we can do.
Town may complain about that, but I don't.
No, I don't think the town has ever complained about us
adding more stuff. Adding. Okay, yep.
Anyway, let's move off of this and back on to the treasurer's report. Unless there's any questions, any more questions on the Notch Pond baseline?
Nope.
Nice job, Peter. I think we can probably approve those minutes, your report that you submitted, if I can bring it up again.
The treasurer's report should be submitted with a correction on the clerk's salary for the 5th of June to $100 instead of $125. I so move.
Okay. So there's been a motion, and is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any questions on that? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion is carried. And do we want to make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as submitted?
I'll make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as submitted.
Well, as amended, right?
As amended. Are you talking now about the pond bay? I thought I thought the previous motion covered that. You now want to talk about the motion baseline?
The previous motion just included one line item.
I intended to move to accept the treasury report as amended, with the amendment being the change in the clerk's salary, et cetera.
All right, thanks, Zach. Yep, I understand it now.
Yep.
Everybody else good with that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okie dokie. All right, I can move on. If I can bring up the... Wow, this is really not acting the way I want it to. My agenda is missing now. Here it is. Okay. Anyway, so next item on the agenda is the under new business. It's the new USGS Thames River flood zones. So this was this all started with an invitation from Pam Sawyer to all the chairs of all the commissions in town and asking them if they would attend, which I did. And Patrice Carson also did as well. But there was nobody from Wetlands, Planning, Zoning, So it was interesting. It was basically what it boils down to is FEMA and USGS have worked together to come up with a risk map. And it's a project in New England. It's going to take a couple of months before they update it. They've had breakout sessions with a number of municipalities. There's like 25 towns, I believe, within the Thames River watershed. And they also worked on the Shetucket watershed. They picked two watersheds and they shared the maps at this meeting, which I downloaded. And they're pretty different, pretty much very different from previous flood zone maps. They basically have expanded the flood zones within all the waterways. And they actually highlighted, it was kind of interesting, they highlighted Baker Brook and Bolton Lake, which I thought was very unique. And the most recent revision to that, it just included the towns. They actually removed the specific resource names. But it definitely showed an increase in the width of the flood range based on a new model.
What about the outflow brook? That's called Bolton Brook. What's the official name?
Bolton Pond Brook.
Yep. Bolton Pond Brook, even though it's not from Bolton Pond, it's from Bolton Lake. Any flood zone considered around there?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The entire stream corridor is expanded.
Okay. Now and it wasn't that long ago that we had a serious
bridge outage,
and right now, Lower Lake is 4 to 6 inches above normal. Middle Lake is above normal. Upper Lake is above normal. And if we were to get a tropical storm of the kind that we had before, or the kind that they had flash flooding in Hartford yesterday.
Yep.
I can guarantee you we would have flooding downstream. And DWEP and FBL and the town of Vernon and the town of Bolton have all dropped the ball about drawdowns other than winter seasonal drawdowns. But I would point out that if a tropical storm is aiming for Connecticut, we need to get the word out to DWEP somehow to, hey, open the drawdown gates and let some of the water out for flood control.
Well, Peter, not to get specific with different areas, but I think it's overall, it's very important to get these maps included in our natural resource inventory. So we have a layer of maps that show this, and we can overlay all kinds of information on that based on, you know, our testing, our analysis. Like, for instance, the areas we do our stream temperature monitoring, riffle bioassessments, all that stuff is really important to add to our natural resource inventory. But once these maps become public, we can share these at a meeting and we can critique them. Wait till you see Baker Brook. Baker Brook, it explains why we lost our hobo. And there was a massive amount of flooding that occurred on Baker Brook. And I think it was up gradient from where we do the testing, School Road.
I would, you know, that's the way it looks. If you follow the Baker Brook rises in a swamp that got overloaded.
Exactly.
But you know what I'm bringing up is, yeah, you know, we need better maps, better communication, better records. But right now, we are in a potential danger period. And do you think that having the Conservation Commission or having the Conservation Alliance say something about, hey, the lakes are high. If a tropical storm comes our way, or an unusual rainstorm comes out our way, Bolton Pond Brook is going to flood.
Yeah, I think it warrants a meeting, Peter. I think you and I should set up a meeting with Pam Sawyer. We should discuss this very issue, because I did not get a response back. Once I sent the results, and I think I forwarded to everybody else, basically how I was pretty much blown away by the new model they're using and the results of the maps, I thought for sure I would get a response back from either Jim or Pam. I got nothing but crickets. And I think we should set up a meeting and make sure they, you know, they hear us, they understand what's taking place, and make sure they're on the same page. And Patrice Carson maybe is their, probably their advisor. Maybe we could include her as well. But I think that's something we should definitely share with.
If we don't include the DWP, it's a waste of effort.
Right. I think that would come next. I think we should need.
That's not going to come next. I mean, tomorrow we could hear that a tropical depression off the coast of Florida is coming up the coast, and 5 to 7 days might cross Long Island and come into Connecticut. And DWP totally punted on it. Oh, we'll think about it next year. And
well, let's try to work with
Pam.
I don't think
the towns, you know, would they might, you know, if the towns made a formal request, it might mean something. But I would say, you know, if we asked for a meeting with the town, we should inform the DWP that we're having this meeting. Could they send somebody?
Okay, let's first get a time and a place that we can meet with our first selectman. Selectwoman, excuse me.
Well,
all right.
And I think we'll officially she's a selectman, but that's all right. No, well, I'm not going to argue that point.
Start on that. And then what I would like to do is share the meeting presentation slides and recording of the Thames and Setauket work map meeting that they had. And I think that everybody would appreciate seeing those, providing they're available to the public, if I can share. I had to agree not to share anything, so I'm not sure what's public and what's not.
I do recall there was at some point a request for public input in order to make that the report that you heard the preliminary results of that meeting from. And as a citizen, but I identified myself both as a part of the Conservation Commission and part of Friends of Bolton Lakes, I did respond to their, you know, questionnaire about input of what, you know, my feelings about the floodplain were. And
great.
Of course, included the fact that I wanted to make sure that it was on record that the bridge at MacArthur, what's the name of the road down there?
Mark Anthony. Right. So Catherine Wares is the person we need to contact. You would want to contact. And I can send you her information. She's with the U.S. Geological Survey. So let's talk about that offline, Peter. We'll move forward.
Okay. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Thank you. And then this is something I think we should also include at our next Alliance meeting, which is Wednesday. Wednesday is our Alliance meeting at the district. And Peter, you were the one that wanted to have as many people show up as possible so we can sign off and with the bylaws and everybody that's there can be founding members of the Bolton Lakes Watershed Conservation Alliance.
Did the slightly out of agenda context here, but did the conservation district accept the bylaws?
They actually did not have a quorum. But I did get information from Cameron Colville that they were pretty much in they agree with them in concept, and he pretty much believes we can move forward.
Okay. In other words, they'll bring it up as old business when they have a quorum.
Right, right. It's already been, they already have copies of draft, and they it's just a question of approving them. And he said it shouldn't hold us up for our approval process. All right, so that's actually another report there. I just went in. So we'll move on to Bolton Boards 101, unless there's any other questions about the river flood zones. Any other questions on that? Nope. Okay. So Bolton Boards 101. So this was interesting. I happened to be on Facebook one evening, and I had noticed that there is a Bolton Boards forum, so to speak, that was being held. And they had a flyer that was made, and they had all these commissions, the planning and zoning, Board of Selectmen, Inlands Wetlands,
Education,
Heritage Farm. They had quite a few of these boards, and unfortunately, it did not include conservation. So I kind of like sent in a little question to the woman in charge and asked if they, how about the Bolton Conservation Commission? They're probably one of the most active commissions in the state. And she apologized and said that, if I wanted to send anybody, that we're more than welcome. So I said, okay, then I'm going to plan on going. And then I found out that I had a Kakuwik meeting, and I thought, oh my God, I got to reach out to somebody. And thankfully, Alan Bickbill had a chance to go. And Alan did a really good job presenting to the entire group that was there, which is probably over 30 people. Alan, why don't you tell us?
30 people, yeah.
How'd it go?
It was interesting. It served its purpose as far as they went. They made it a point to talk about how all the commissions in towns are nonpartisan, and everybody gets along great. And it was basically, I think, an attempt to increase the public's participation in the various boards and commissions. And it was kind of like a plea for, anybody that wants to get involved, please do. I don't remember, all the people. I mean, Rod, you would have been better on that note because you would have known everybody. But, it was interesting to hear the stories. What's that?
There's some new folks, I think. I think the one that was organizing it, she's new in town.
Yeah. I think she said she was here for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
That's new.
Yeah, right.
Compared to us. Yeah.
Everybody had a chance to talk for like 5 minutes. Some obviously talked way more than 5 minutes. And so it was very informational. And I end up getting a couple of compliments at the end of the event. And, saying, I had no idea that the Conservation Commission was so involved and all the things that you guys do. And so that was, it was kind of fun. It was a little bit nerve wracking, but.
I'm sure. I know it is nerve wracking when you're last to go up, second to last, I believe, after they had like 10 or 12 people ahead of you. I actually listened to it the next day after my CACUC meeting. I said, well, I'll see about all these other commissions. And I was really impressed, Alan. You did a really good job. People afterward, actually, I ran into some folks at Lowe's, and they also were impressed. I had a conversation with them. And I guess the reason why we were inadvertently omitted from being invited to attend was, I guess, they were looking to fill boards that had vacancies. And this is before we had a vacancy. Now we have a vacancy, a full-time vacancy. And I already put a request in to Matt to ask him if he would fill into the full-time position. And that way we could find an alternate, which is usually easy to find. It's easier to find an alternate than there's a full-time member. So that's something that Matt's going to consider and let us know. But then, Alan, you were saying that it was just that there were so many commissions in town that it would have been a long meeting. I think they forgot the fire commission. There was like, how many other commissions did they?
There's only one other. Library.
Library. Yep.
Yeah.
But and then he.
Go ahead.
And at the end, I really liked, if anybody gets a chance, go on the town website and listen to it. It was really good. I thought that Adam Peller had a really good farewell statement to everybody and thanked everyone. And I thought that one of his things he said, which was really interesting, Peter and I might take him up on, is that if we aren't getting any response from the current administration, then reach out to him. And, you know, so far I have two letters, emails that are pending. I've heard other people say that they have not got responses. So let's set up a meeting with Pam Sawyer and talk about that, about communication 101. Yeah. Right? Cool. Any other comments on that, Alan?
Thank you, Alan, for carrying our flag.
Yep, yes, thank you.
Alan.
Yeah, it was like I said, it was really interesting. And everybody did seem very nice, and they were, you know, very cordial, and, you know, seemed to try to be wanting to work together. And so,
yes, and that's the good thing about a small town. It was, as people do work well in this town. I find that every time I go to an event, it's not short of friendly people.
Right.
So always have a great time in town of Bolton. All right, so next is Bolton High School student volunteer opportunities. All right, Peter.
Well, I have the contact. I haven't had a chance to try to move it along. Okay.
I thought I responded back to you on that. I thought I copied you on the response.
Yeah, no, I have the woman's name and contact stuff.
For her name?
I will get hold of her.
You remember her name? I can bring up her response. I have a response here. You can just remember her name.
Not offhand.
Anyway, she responded. I asked her in the email if she would consider a student representative, and also and as she mentioned, she was really very encouraged by our request, and it sounded like she was going to pretty much fulfill our request. It's just the timing, I guess, the summer vacation. She doesn't have any candidates right now for student reps. But she definitely is interested in helping us out, you know, and getting us to work with Bolton High School students in citizen science. And I'm thinking of our next big event, which is the Riffle Bioassessment. I think it would be great if we had students help, not a lot, but just enough to you know, especially the student reps or even just volunteers on behalf of the, you know, Bolton High School. Jennifer Carvalho, her name is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just remembered it. So yeah, she's definitely have been corresponding with her and looking forward to environmental science student research opportunity. She says she doesn't have specific students in mind yet. I got it. I got the email here. As of yet. She's not worked with her new batch of students for the fall yet. She does have a Google Classroom page set up for them with summer assignments, so I can definitely post some general information for them on there and see if there's any interest in serving as a student rep to the commission or interest in the Salamander project. I'm not sure how often the students log on and check the Google Classroom in the summer, but at least it's a start, and I can reiterate the request for volunteers in September when I actually officially have them in class. That she'll keep us posted if she hears anything back from any of them prior to the start of school. So she says, thanks very much. Jen Carvalho, 9-12 science academic leader and drama director.
Yep.
Great. All right. So that's progress. Any questions about that? Student volunteer opportunities. Okay. We'll move on to 5.4, Salamander Survey by Hank Gruner. All right. So, Alan, why don't you give us a breakdown as to what took place? I'm going to try to bring up a picture of our new findings, our new friend we found.
So, Rod talked me into going looking for salamanders in the hottest, steamiest part of the day, in the buggiest, mosquito-infested part of Nathan Hale. And then we get there and the parking lot is blocked off. The lower parking lot is, well, the parking lot is blocked off. We like to call it Trash Alley or something like that because it was so badly trashed. But apparently the town is the one that put the rocks in to keep people from, you know, going there. And they did clean up it was a really very disappointing pile of trash everywhere at the base of that. But so then we went into, did I mention sweaty? So we
walked
up and we're sweaty by the time we left the car. And then we went about half a mile or a mile, I don't even know how far. But we were looking we put in a stream temperature monitor in the basically the headwaters of the Hop River. And the water was, initially we found a stream that was dry and that was a little concerning. And oh, by the way, the vernal pool was also dry, which was surprising considering how much water we had just had. But I'm thinking it didn't get over there or something. I'm not sure what happened there.
But yeah, that last rain was very spotty.
Yeah. So apparently, yes, very much so, because literally there was not a drop of water in that vernal pool. But then we did find water in this hop, and so we put that in there. We tied a string to the piece of iron and put a little
rigger
to give us a heads up. It's right on somebody had made a stone walkway across the stream, so it's right there. But it's pretty tangled at that point, so meaning the plant life. But anyways, then we were starting to look for salamanders turning rocks, and I managed to find this guy fairly quickly. And I guess it turns out to be a dusky salamander. I had never seen one before, and it's very much bigger than the salamanders that I'm accustomed to. And we saw lots of tracks of wheeled vehicles in the park.
Mm-hmm. So apparently it's not listed on the state endangered species list, but included as a greatest conservation need species in the 2015 Connecticut Wildlife Action Plan, which, by the way, that is up again in 2025. And they're already starting to have committees on that, the next Wildlife Action Plan for the state of Connecticut. So it's called a northern dusky salamander, and they require collar seepage stream habitat, and they're less common than the two-lined salamander. You know, so, and I actually, if you look carefully in the bottom of this, you can see spots. So I thought, oh, great, it's got to be an immature blue-spotted, you know, because they go up to 6 inches, these things, and this is only about 3 inches, so I thought, but nope. I got the report back from, and as a matter of fact, it was kind of funny. When I first found it, I said to Alan, I said, this is a dusky salamander. I don't know how I knew that, but it kind of looks dusky a little bit. And there's no blue spots, but I thought maybe it would be a blue spotted salamander, which would be endangered. But this was just our first survey, and we actually found two of these, pretty much the same. Right, Alan?
Yeah. And it was only about a foot or so beyond where I found this one, but it was too quick for me, and it was hard to see into the water, and you know, every time you moved a rock, it was all the silt kicked up. So we stayed there for 45 minutes anyways looking for salamanders.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty productive. You know we just found two. Hank Gruner is aware of it, so, and we actually had milk cartons, like quart milk cartons, to capture them with. And then let them release them. So that's pretty much the results of our first ever salamander survey. Any questions from anybody? The other thing I wanted to share with you is the photograph of the entrance to the Nathan Hale Greenway that's open to the public. This is the entrance. Normally we could drive down this dirt road and now it's blocked off. And you can see there's ATV tracks over the top of this. It's not stopping ATVs, or even 4x4s can get right over these. These are pretty much small boulders. I'm not sure if the town did this or not. I don't know who did it, but we need to also check with Pam, ask why. Why can't we have an access point up on this ridge right here? That's all Japanese knotweed, all overgrown. And straightening this out, having an apron that goes up to the hill, it require a little bit of fill, but it seems to me that that would be safer than what's there now, and much safer than what's proposed. Up way up the hill where it's narrow, much more narrower, and pretty much a higher, well, probably the same rate of speed, but same sight line. Anyway, any questions on that? There is still two parking spots, just so you know, there's still places to park in front of these little boulders here. And it actually is good because the fact that it's not being trashed anymore, and it is a turtle area. So there wasn't many times in the spring where you drive down this road and have to swerve out of the way of turtles crossing.
Laying their eggs in the,
laying their eggs.
The tread of the road.
Right. Okay, so we can add that to our inventory, and a northern dusky salamander. And like I said, Pete, like he said, Peter, you know, we don't have to bring the tidbit, lug back the tidbit to you, and then come back and put it in the vernal pool. We already have it in place, not far from the vernal pool. But quick question for you, Peter. I was just asking about the attachments to the tidbit. Did you use a PVC pipe? Did you not want to have a PVC pipe covering that tidbit?
I don't have any more PVC pipes that's big enough to put the tidbit in.
How big a PVC pipe do you need?
It's like a sewer drain, like a 3.5 inch.
Oh, okay. I definitely don't have that diameter.
Yeah, we could buy a foot of that at England's if you want
to look around too. I have a white one that's probably 4 inches.
Well, that would be big. Not really, no, that would protect it.
The only thing is it's pretty obvious, it's bright white.
Yeah
you want it kind of
bright white.
The one we have in the vernal up in the notch, I believe it was a 3.5 inch black.
Yeah, so that's a goal sometimes. Basically, do you feel it's okay if it's, if it's not protected, you think it's sturdy enough?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not going to go anywhere on that piece.
Right.
Yeah, if somebody dropped a rock on it,
No, I put it in upside down and then dropped the rock on that.
Yeah.
So it should pretty much in the muck at the bottom of the stream. Okay.
Yeah, that should be all right. But I agree. It would be a nice I thought I had more of that pipe, but I couldn't find it.
All right. We'll look around. If we find it, we can add it.
And, if we bought a foot of that, that would, then we'd have it. If we only need about 4 to 6 inches. I'd say 6 inches is probably better, maybe 5.
We could
buy a short length at England's for not very much money.
I don't think we should buy it. I think that it'll show up. I think that I can find it very easily.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Somebody else might find it too. So we'll work on that. Okay. So next, so there is any other questions about the salamander survey? So the date for the next salamander survey, which will include Hank Gruner, which might be able to identify on the spot. I'm sure he will be able to identify on the fly. I think he said it was either the 25th or the 26th of July. Double check that to make sure. Yes. So those two dates, weather pending, hopefully it won't be as hot. July 26th or 27th. What days are those?
26th is Wednesday. 27th is Thursday.
Yep. Those are the dates. Those are the two tentative dates, 26th or 27th. Or maybe the 28th as well. So, all right. So next is Notch Pond litter from culverts, beavers, and water analysis results. Okay. So we already discussed the water analysis results. Leslie, this is where you might want to include that information. If you've already included it in the financial report, that's fine. So the Notch Pond litter from the culverts, the litter is very difficult to see now, to identify, because of all the vegetation. But still, that doesn't, that shouldn't get in the way of a response from the town. I did on the 27th, I believe, I wrote to June 27th. I wrote a letter to an email to Pam Sawyer and Jim Rupert, asking if that's something that DOT could investigate. And I said, yes, they would contact. And this is at the request also of Bike Walk Bolton and the Hop River Trail Alliance, something that they could investigate. And they said, yes, they would reach out to, Jim Rupert said he would reach out to his Capital Council Region of Government, DOT liaison. And I wrote to him early June, had not heard a word back, and reminded him the 27th. He said he'd get right on it and reach out again. Still have not heard back from him yet. So I'm looking to hear... If in fact it is, whose jurisdiction it is, and what would be some of the remedies to correct the litter from coming through the culverts. As far as the beavers go, Brenda Cataldo explained to me that there is no trapping of beavers after March 30th, but yet apparently the bike folks are saying that there's no more signs of beavers. They don't seem to be in Notch Pond anymore, any longer. So that's interesting. So once we do have another sighting of a beaver, then we can look at ways in which we can come up with alternatives to allow the beavers to live in harmony with the pond. So that's where that stands. Any questions on that?
No.
Nope. Good.
Okay. The water analysis results we discussed. The next item is natural resource inventory, mapping latest open space parcel map with 490 layer. We still have all the data of 490. Who it is that actually has 490? It'd be nice to be able to show a map that shows who was getting a tax break by claiming not to develop their property for 10 years, anybody that has over 25 acres of forest and farming as well. There's 490 farming and 490 forest. It'd be great to see a map of our 490 forest and our 490 farming within the town of Bolton. That'd be really great. And one of the things I did mention in my email to Jennifer Carvalho, the teacher at Bolton High School, is that I asked her if any of these students would be involved with mapping. That's something that maybe we could work with student Don. I know that in the past, in 2001, I worked with Jared Nuss, who was a high school senior with GIS, and we were put together this amazing map of the Heritage Farm, which was included. Actually, there was more than one map. There's like three maps that were included in the actual grant application booklet. It was a huge, very compelling booklet that was agreed upon by the state of Connecticut, and we received the grant, and the town approved a referendum to purchase the Heritage Farm for $1.2 million. It was called the Rose Farm at the time. So natural resource inventory mapping, it'd be great to get a student to work on that. And at the same time, Peter, I know I promised you I would reach out to Krog. I have not had a chance to do that yet. I know that you wanted the contact person, and you would be the one that would ask the questions as to what kind of metadata you would receive, correct?
Something like that, yeah. I did send you the list of data types that I can work with on with my GPS, which includes supposedly the standard sharing format, meta format. I looked into it in more detail.
Well,
as a matter of fact, the author of the program that I subscribed to was on the committee to formulate a standard GPS sharing format between different GPS programs. And so we should be able to, you know, if they're willing to share their underlying format, I should be able to read it.
Yeah, well, interesting sidebar comment regarding that, regarding data. When I was attending that workshop by the USGS and FEMA, there was options to either download the maps in PDF format or in GIS, specifically in metadata.
Yeah.
So once we have the ability to add these layers to make this resource.
Is that something that they will have or is something that's available now?
It's available now. But it's not public. That's the catch. So I got to find out when it is public. And this is something we can talk.
If it's available to you, you can get it, and you know, I'll see if I can bring it up.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send it to you. I'll send you the link. I can send you the data. See if you can bring it up.
Either way, yeah. You know, whatever you consider what's appropriate. But I will serve as your agent and not share it with anybody else.
Promise. Okay. Yeah, I think they are. I think they've already had their planning meetings. I think they're in the process of releasing it real soon. All right. So that's really important. I'm going to keep that 6.2 on this agenda for quite some time, because I think that, you know, the more we do, the more we can reflect our actions with maps, with map layers. And actually, we can do a storybook. Storybook GIS is amazing. There's an awful lot to GIS. All right. And one thing we did not do, Peter, is take the GPS coordinates of where that tidbit is. But
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
I'll have to go back and do that. So I will do that in the 26th and 27th. I'll just take a picture of it, and it automatically records the GPS on your phone.
Well,
okay. Yep. Alan?
No, never mind. We didn't take a picture up of where you put the where we put the hobo in there.
Tidbit. No, we didn't. We got pictures of the salamanders. We know where they live.
Which is, you know, less than 10 feet away, but.
That's true. It's not far. Yeah. And then, how
well,
accurate
the point
is
of
it?
The pictures is to be able to find the
right tidbit.
The monitor.
Right. Yep. It is definitely a heavy. Nice job on the metal, by the way. That's not going to get lost. Thing was on my backpack.
That's
even
a,
more
a Megan special.
Just really?
I can't remember what they're also from the railroad, but
I was going to say they
they're about
like
six times heavier than the other ones.
Yeah.
And they're very rusty. Yes.
Yeah. Notice okay. that the rust, the tidbit has a magnet, and the rust, you can't blow it off. You have to wipe it off. That little button on top is a magnet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. So, just so you know, I have a tidbit that I've used for the Appalachian Mountain Club, and I went to retrieve the data on it with the old app. and the data wasn't there. And I apparently must have launched it with a new app. And somehow there's a conflict between apps. So I actually called Onset and they told me remove the old app, which I did. And then I relaunched it. So now I have it relaunched under the new app. And I actually brought it up. I didn't want to start it logging or interfere with, I think you already have it on your phone, right, Peter? The one at the vernal pool in Bolton?
Well, I download them from my phone onto the computer as fast as I can.
Great. Okay.
I don't trust to keep it on my phone.
So it's not on your phone?
It probably still is. I haven't taken it off, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, I trust my computer a lot more than I trust the phone.
So how else do you get the data? You can't get the data in the field. You have to bring it home to your computer.
No. Once I can transfer it, I can send it from my phone to my computer. I email it.
That's what I'm saying. So I actually was able to view. I now have two of those on my phone. So I'm able to view not only the one up in Salisbury, Connecticut, but the one in Bolton. I'm sorry, the vernal pool in Bolton.
Yeah, okay.
But I didn't want to start it or log it or start logging because I didn't want to interfere
Launch
with...
Launch is the terminology they use.
Right, I didn't want to relaunch it. So I went to look at it, and sure enough, it was recording the temperature, and it was really warm that day. And the water was warm, too. Okay, so let's move on to stream temperature monitoring and a 20th RBV. So stream temperature monitoring, anything else? Peter, can you just refresh our memory and let us know what loggers we have that have been launched and where?
I have a complete spreadsheet of inventory. Why don't I, make sure it's up to date and distribute it to everybody.
Okay. That'd be great. And so next is the 20th RBV. So this year will be the 20th successive riffle bioassessment by volunteers. So, and that is planned for, is there a date on that? 10/29, right? So October 29th, put that in your calendar. I'm hoping that this will be a good one. Let's try to organize like we did last year. Like we have not had a bad one actually. It'd be nice to do some additional locations, you know, that have riffles. Let's think about expanding it, and going different places, maybe moving upstream.
It depends on how much water we have too.
That's true. That's always a concern.
No good if the streams are running dry.
Right.
Or flooding.
Yeah, we don't want volunteers getting washed away.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That would be bad public relations. That would be bad.
That would make the paper, yeah.
Probably even make the news.
Yeah,
we would probably be making some explanations to WFSB.
Yep.
At least 30 seconds.
Right.
At the end of the program.
Okay, so that's it for 6.3. 6.4, FBL. You want to give a report on that, Peter?
FBL didn't have a quorum, so they didn't hold a meeting. The only thing that we've done this month is to approve another list of books to be bought for the Bolton and Vernon libraries about the majority of them are children's books and get the kids interested in lakes. And then we're hoping to have at least one adult title, which is still up in the air.
Okay. Did you guys meet this month or last month?
So I said we didn't because we didn't have we knew we weren't going to have a quorum, so it was canceled.
Okay. And you're planning on meeting next month?
We didn't meet in June and we're planning on meeting in July. Yes.
Oh, this month. Okay, good. Okay. So, the Bolton Lakes Watershed Conservation Alliance, our last meeting, we did not have a quorum. We did have a quorum. We decided that we would wait, and approve the bylaws with a larger amount of people in attendance. There was a few changes we made. One included Robert's rules. We want to make sure that, you know, that there's an effort made to utilize Robert's rules when conducting meetings. And there was another, I think, removal of a member, what it required, how many votes, what I think it was 2/3.
No.
No?
I wasn't me. I was I wasn't talking to the group.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so our next meeting, which is Wednesday of next week, is going to be held in person, and we will be discussing the bylaws and probably discussing, yes, definitely discussing the new mapping, flood control mapping, and the new mode they use to determine the new flood control areas. And also we'll be discussing the results of the DEP assessment of Upper Bolton Lake and their requests of us, the Alliance, that is, to come up with some sort of a stream level gauge at Upper Bolton Lake, something that that we could install and then have data on a regular basis on the level. Not the stream, I'm sorry, it would be the lake level of Upper Bolton Lake, which isn't a huge lake, but the levels are important for the Atlantic White Cedar. Anything else I missed, Peter, on that?
Well, the only thing is we have similar levels on middle and lower, and it might be useful to have the same technology on upper.
Great. Well, we can talk about that.
Not necessary, but at least it should be looked at. So great. That the levels of all three lakes could be tracked on a consistent basis.
Great. And that's why I've been pushing these bylaws so that we are attached officially to the North Central Conservation District, which has pretty much agreed to basically sponsor us, which would allow us to have nonprofit status, which is, would allow us to apply for grant money.
Yeah, because the level gauge is approximately close to $1,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's something we would have to research. Yep. And then there's also the state, the DEP might have testing equipment that they would use, since it is their property anyway, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's another interesting thing. The both the level gauges that are installed for lower and middle are both in front of the waterfront of people who are willing to take care of them. And I don't know whether, you know, there's so few people on upper.
Right.
It probably should be fairly close to Hatchell Road where we installed a level gauge.
Yeah, one of the things, Alan, that you mentioned, which was interesting in your presentation, your Bolton Boards 101, was the fact that the dam that was completed on Upper Bolton Lake had a and you didn't use the word trash rack. Instead, you used something that I really didn't think applied, but I thought about it more. I said, yeah, son of a gun, it is. It actually prevents beaver debris from getting into the dam. It's called a trash rack. But what did you call it, Alan, at the time?
Yeah, I don't remember.
But it serves two purposes. It actually does prevent debris from getting in into the, you know, clogging the dam. So it's not just trash. It keeps out beaver debris.
Debris, yes.
Which is pretty cool. The question is how often it's cleaned out. That's the concern that a number of people have. Because it is actually not. Peter, have you been up there recently? Has it been cleaned?
Last time I went by about a week ago, it needed to be cleaned.
Yeah, I think they said it's about 8 inches.
It was last week. Yep. And the majority, you know, it's beaver trash. There's very little human trash up there.
Oh, that's encouraging.
Okay, Salmon River Watershed Partnership. Matt, anything for us?
Nothing really new going on. No, just continuing to they are working on a watershed. We're working on a watershed recreation map, and there are some tour dates and places that I missed. I'll reach out to Pat and I'll get back to you about those. And I've definitely marked August 16th as the next meeting, and I will definitely be at that one.
Great. And if you get a chance, could you send out the annual report? They put together a really good report.
Absolutely.
Did you get a copy?
That'd yep. Great. Actually, it's actually right here.
What's it called? Yep. What are they referring to it as, an annual report?
Salmon River Watershed Annual Newsletter.
Yeah. If you could just send that out to all of us, that'd be great.
Gladly.
So we can have. Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Next is the Old Growth Forest Network. Oh, yeah. So interesting photograph today I had from Marty Alligata. I don't know if anybody remembers Marty. Marty joined us on Earth Day, and he measured the eastern hemlock in Freya Park. And since he was our special guest, we gave him a T-shirt of the turtle T-shirt. Well, today he sent me a picture of his wife wearing that. In front of a huge, I think it was called the President, the largest tree, I think, in the West Coast. It's huge. It was out in the Redwoods. Yeah. Sequoia National Park. He's out there today, and he sent that picture. It's like so pretty cool. And then he actually has a picture of an Old Growth Forest Network logo on his T-shirt, which we don't even have, which we're thinking of making now that he's actually his sister made it for him. Which is pretty cool, but I don't have any news on the Old Growth Forest Network other than the fact that they're up to 212 properties now that have been put aside. And I do want to mention the fact that there was a great article in Sunday's Current in Section 3 commentary. The whole covered a whole page, whole front page, most of the front page, 4/5 of it. It's entitled "An Anchor of Nature." Protecting and Growing Wildlands, a Connecticut Refuge in Need of Rescue. And this is by Susan Messino, Ed Fazen, and David Foster. If you get a chance to dig that out, or I might have already sent that to you, it was a great article. It talks about the Belden Forest in Simsbury, the Appalachian Trail, the importance of natural area preserve. Really good story there. And then Kakiwik today, I actually went out to Bristol to a new DoubleTree conference center that they're constructing next to the existing DoubleTree, which is near ESPN. And this is the site of our next Kakiwik 46th annual meeting and environmental conference. They're actually the gentleman that invited us was a gentleman we dealt with in previous locations, and he used to work. I knew him from the convention center in Hartford, and he's looking forward to having us again on November 11th, so save that date. And this is a brand new conference center, and it's going to be open in September, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's going to have state-of-the-art IT. It's going to be a really great conference, and we're looking forward to having upwards of 300 people. So please put that in your calendar for November 11th. And hopefully we can offer one of those tabletop exhibits, the Bolton Conservation Commission. And that's it for reports, correspondence. I've been invited to participate in a panel discussion to be held on Tuesday, July 25th, called Sharing the Landscape. I'm not sure if they're inviting me personally or inviting me to attend. It's going to be down at Wesleyan. It's Northeast Partners for Amphibian, and reptile conservation. Just wanted to mention that. Discussions will be moderated by Tracy Rittenhouse. She's with UConn Natural Resources Environment. Oh, then they list the panels, and I'm not on here, so good. I'm not a panel member. That's good. Hank Gruner is one of the panel members, which is good. He's going to be, let me see, is Hank on here? Paul Bowman. Michael Clemens. I'm sorry, I don't see Hank on here. Michael Clemens is, he's the gentleman that is the author of the book that Hank was co-authored. The book called Conservation of Amphibians and Reptiles in Connecticut. So that's on Tuesday, July 25th. I hope to attend that. I sent a condolence card to the Giglio family. It was sad that Arlene Giglio has passed away. Arlene lived at the end of your street, Matt?
Yes, indeed.
And
yep, her son, her son's, I guess her son's moving in.
Okay, that was the next question. Yeah, we have our temperature monitor in that stream. That's one of the locations. And yeah, she was a very nice lady. I remember from Connecticut Transit. You know, I worked with her for years. Very nice. Yep. Great loss to the family and to everyone. So anyway, I sent a condolence card on behalf of the Conservation Commission.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A question back about that amphibian conference or what that was. What was the date on that?
The date, oh, geez, what did I say it was?
You said July 25th.
Tuesday, July 25th from 10 to 12 p.m. You're interested?
Yeah, maybe.
Cool. It's $25. So let's appropriate funding now if we want to go.
Yeah, I would like to go. I could go. I won't be working.
Okay. Anymore. Great. So, Mr. Treasurer, do we have an item, light item for that?
I will contact finance, and if we can take it out of if the fiscal 24 has begun, we'll take it out of the town budget. Otherwise, we'll take it out of the activity fund.
Okay, would somebody like to make a motion to that? It'd be $50 for two of us.
I'll make a motion to put money toward that conference.
It's called NEPARC, NEPARC Annual Meeting at Wesleyan.
Oh, NEPARC Annual Meeting at Wesleyan.
Great, $50 out of the fund to be determined.
Fund to be determined by the treasurer.
Fund to be determined by the treasurer. Great. Okay. There's a motion, and so is there a second?
I will second.
Thank you, Matt. Any more questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion's carried. Great. All right. So, Alan, I'll be glad to drive.
Okay. Sounds good. What time is it? 10 till what?
So it's July 25th from 10 to noon.
Okay. All right.
So the registration fee also includes lunch afterwards. Yep.
That works.
That's great. Okay. So I think that's it, unless there's any other business that I've missed.
You're going to discuss correspondence?
Oh, I think that was it. That was correspondence. The correspondence was the invite to the panel discussion, the condolence card. Did I miss any other correspondence? Oh, yes, I did. I actually have after I sent the agenda, I got a correspondence from the town clerk saying that this is to remind you that pursuant to Bolton Charter, on or after July 1st, but not later than 30 days after all required appointments to a commission, board, or agency have been made. Such appointed commission, board, or agency shall hold an organizational meeting, shall choose a chairman, vice chairman, and such officers as such commission, board, or agency deems necessary. The election of the officers must be in the form of a motion and must be voted upon. So I did not include that on the agenda, but I will do that at our August meeting. That's the other correspondence that was sent on June 27th, and I didn't receive it until minutes after I sent out this agenda.
How long did she give us to do that?
Well, it says, this is to remind that pursuant to section 11.1B, on or after July 4th, but not later than 30 days after all required appointments to a commission, board, or agency have been made.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's not 30 days after July 1st. Okay.
No,
fine.
No, I think, yeah. I think we're good. Great. All right. Is there any other questions?
Yeah, I have. So I don't know if this would be weird, but it occurs to me that it'd be nice to send Gene just like a little note.
Thank you card.
Yeah. How much we valued her, her help and her wisdom and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. I can send her like a personal card in the mail. I know I sent her an email and thanked her for her commitment and her expertise. And I said, we're going to miss you. And, you know, I think she got that from me. But I will be glad to do that on behalf of the commission. Yep.
Yeah, I would like totally. That.
And I don't think, you know, she didn't leave and she basically is overwhelmed. You can tell by
last.
She's just very involved with UConn, apparently.
Right.
And
even a year ago, she said she was going to become overwhelmed with that UConn stuff. So it's not at all surprising.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was very nice, when we sent our clerk flowers, she was quick to send a check for $10. Yeah, she actually mailed me her vest. Yep, it was nice working with her, and I will definitely convey that to her, yes. And the selectman also thanked her at the last meeting that Alan was reappointed at. Alan, congratulations. I wanted to remind you that I actually would have never known about that. I usually get a copy of the letter of reappointments, but I read it in the minutes, and sure enough, Alan was reappointed for another 3-year term. Congratulations.
Thank you. I look forward to wild and crazy times.
While we're still have a meeting here, Rod, could you send me the information of where the registration fee for the Knee Park convention.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll send you that. Yep. I'll do that right now. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you for asking that, Pete. All right. Is there a motion to approve the clerk's invoice?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second it.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion's carried. Clerk's invoice is approved. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I will so move.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? We're adjourned. Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Leslie.
Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Peter. Thanks. Thank you, Matt.
Anytime. Thank you. Everybody should have that email that's been forwarded.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Anytime.
Be good, everyone. Stay cool.
Yep. You too. All right. And stay hydrated.
Yes, that too. Right. Thank you.
Stones suck. True story.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.